There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
After a serious car accident, people have two questions. Why me and what now? Well, no one knows why you, but I'm Terry Crouppen, and my law firm, Brown & Crouppen, sure can help with the what now. Car repairs, medical bills, lost wages, pain and suffering. We're Brown & Crouppen, and we've got all those answers. All you have to do is call. 222-2222.
Live from the Michelob Ultra Studios, KPNT-FM HD2, Collinsville, St. Louis. This is TMA All Day. Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After on KPNT-FM HD2, Collinsville, St. Louis. At the Morning After STL on YouTube and on TMASTL.com with Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, Iggy Strode, The Plowboy, and Action Jackson.
Good morning, St. Louis.
Uh-oh.
Now, just a doggone minute. Where is Tim? Get it all out now.
This is how
that's who I. That's who I thought I'd hear first thing on Friday morning.
I forgot about her. I wouldn't have come in.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Jackson does a great job.
Thanks.
He's a great host when Tim's not here.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. To my right, Douglas Elvin Vaughn, dressed in a handsome royal blue pullover, khakis, of course. Sitting across from me, Darren the Plowhawk Atkins. A little V-neck action on Friday. Love to see it.
I tell you what, I'm running out of... I stashed all my hoodies for, the summer.
Sure.
So I have just a couple stragglers that are dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to bust out this...
You look fuzzy.
I look like it's 20 degrees outside, but it is nice.
Well, it is 50-something, isn't it?
Kind of chilly.
It's a little chilly, but don't worry, because starting Monday, you got like 9 straight days in the 90s.
Nine straight days and a little hot. That's a little toasty, but that's fine.
And warm.
That's fine.
But when
warm
you wake up in the morning, it's in the 60s, not 52.
Tell you what, Saturday, Sunday for the pop-out, 83,
ooh.
85.
Ooh.
It's almost perfect, Doug.
I feel like I'm 8 again because, I don't know, I've had so much going on lately. We've had, for some reason, a ton of meetings with the Megamire Foundation with this golf.
Well, you're president now.
Yeah. Just I had some other stuff going on. I got the Point Fest tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I got two tickets for my niece and her husband for Point Fest. And I said, can you do me a big favor when Jeremy comes and picks up these tickets Friday? Can I give him a load of laundry for you to do for me?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Because I had so much.
You've got to be kidding.
I have so much
going
on.
Have you no shame at all?
I have so much going on, and I can't get to it all. So I said, can you just do a load for me?
I can get you tickets if you can wash my underwear. That's the deal.
No, I have two bags. So one, I'm just giving her all my darks, and I'll do my underwear.
The delicates, Doug.
But if I did.
Got to be kidding.
If I had to do all this at the laundromat, it'd take like 5 washes and dryers. It'd be all day, so. This way, she does a load, and all I got to do is go down there once. I don't have to go back 3 times. So, yeah, my sister's going to do my niece's going to do my laundry for me.
Oh, gosh.
Doug, what are your thoughts on that?
She has to be thrilled. Here's old Uncle Whistle Snoot's dirty Utrell.
No, I said I'm going to do it. It's just I'm running out of like, pullovers. And.
Well, then go to the laundromat at the apartment complex and clean that stuff.
I will, but I also got sheets and stuff and towels and this just too
much. What do we
all do? Normally,
underwear.
Normally, I have like 2 loads.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. This would be like 6 loads, so I just give her majority of it.
God.
Then I'll go pick it up.
6 load Ken, right sitting to my left.
And and I'll tell you what, like, living in a bunch of apartments as I have, truly blessed to be evicted and have a bunch of movings and thank Doug.
Yeah.
Having laundry on the premises. Now, the difference, if you have laundry in unit, you may have laundry in the basement.
I got it in the basement.
And you also may have laundry, I think where Iggy is, where there's a central area where it's a complex and there's laundry areas. Let me tell you, having it in your apartment or in the basement and not having to leave your apartment to do laundry, game changer. I've got laundry mats as well, which is, that's a grind.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I hate about this complex is there's no washer-dryer hookup in the apartments.
Yeah,
I would love just to, let's throw some washing today.
No, I had to do a little laundry, of course, on the cruise ship outside Monte Carlo.
where'd that go
where
down?
Does
in,
that?
On the ship?
Oh, yeah.
Do they do it for you?
No, they provide it there for you.
They have like a little laundromat down there?
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's where people meet to hook up.
That wasn't there. It's where they went to do their laundry.
There's laundry in a cruise. You're only there for 10 days. I mean, I've gone to Hito for 2 weeks and didn't have to do laundry.
Well, aren't you mostly naked the whole time?
How many times did you wear the same clothes?
Didn't wear a lot of clothes, but I usually brought about 10 different shirts and 3 or 4 pair of shorts for dinner. But
I don't own 10 pairs of underwear.
Really?
Really?
I'm probably about a 6 or an 8 piece. But I'm telling you, I'm grinding loads of laundry every day. I have no issue with it.
I've got 30 pair of underwear. That's why
Holy moly.
I only do laundry when I'm out of underwear. Because I have enough. In the summer, I have tons of short-sleeve polos. I never run out of those. I mean, I don't wear a polo to work and then throw it in the wash for 3 hours and hang it back up.
Oh, well,
so
I do.
So I only run out of...
After I wear a shirt all day, I...
Not all day.
Wash it.
Like, I wear this into here. 3 hours. I go home, I hang it back up. I'm not getting it dirty for 3 hours sitting in here.
What about the shirt underneath?
I don't have a shirt underneath.
Are you kidding me?
See, I can't...
You're wearing just a sweater?
It's very comfortable.
I don't know if I've ever once went bareback with a sweater or a button-up.
No,
I'm talking as a kid, too,
Doug. It just isn't done.
Well, I think like a button-up shirt, you're fine to wear nothing underneath.
I don't know. I just don't like the...
It's far more comfortable, and you sweat less if you have a T-shirt.
I don't sweat anyway, so... When I sweat in here, it's like 40.
It is cold.
It is pretty chilly in here.
So when I run out of underwear, that's when I do laundry. I got like 4 or 5 sets of sheets.
But if you don't wear an undershirt, your body grunge, skin cells and stuff.
Hot grease.
Get on the clothes.
Just don't worry about it.
Clearly, you're not worried about it.
No, I've never worn them.
Thoughts on Iggy's T-shirt. Body. Send them on in.
I can't wait.
Engineered Design Facilities text inbox.
Off to a good start.
Hot start, 314-881-TMA5. You can text on it. You can also call in because we got KG in O-Town in the Ledoux Horton Watkins studio.
It's fabulous to have him.
Hi, KG.
Morning. Seckman Studio.
Yeah, it's the Seckman Studios today.
That's right.
South County's commandeered my
Jefferson County.
Jefferson County?
Mm.
Is that south of South County?
It is.
Doug?
Yeah, it's kind of southwest. I guess it even goes all the way down. Yeah, like in Imperial, that's Jefferson County.
Best sushi in the land.
Sushi
right?
AI, baby.
Oh, my God. Well, and the famous Fuji sushi.
Yeah.
Which had mixed reactions on the fan page.
I've been to Imperial once.
Thoughts?
In my life. Well, I have a friend who went to Seckman, Candace Walton.
But, yeah, she's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. I think she's, I better not say.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, you can't tease us like that,
I don't
bro.
Know. She sent me a picture.
Did well, you take wet pink?
I don't know if
where
she wants me to say
pink.
Anyway, so I went. We had dinner one night at her house, and this is the first time I've ever been to Imperial.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
Gorgeous Imperial.
It's a long way away.
Yeah. So you can call
it's not
in.
That far away.
How far?
Depends on where you are to start.
I've had to drive down there before, and it's
It's down by Arnold.
25 minutes or so?
I'll take the over on that.
Again, it depends on where you're coming from.
Well,
Sunset Hills, I could be in Imperial in 25 minutes.
Well, I'm on the hill. I'm right by God's Highway, Doug, 44.
Yeah.
Still takes me a good while to get down there.
Not more than 25 minutes.
I don't remember how long it took me, but
you can go all the way to Festus in about a half an hour.
Twin Cities.
Yeah. You know, but when you want good sushi though, you do drive the extra 5, 10, 15 minutes out of your way.
Right, south of the city center.
Speaking of Horton Watkins, if I can for a second, Jay had his they had his memorial last night at Horton Watkins.
Yeah.
In the auditorium.
His alma mater, also
mine. I'd never been to Ledoux High School.
It's a gorgeous high school now. Didn't look like that when I was there.
It is. They got a lot of benches and stools and
benches and stools.
Yeah, state of the art.
Well, as you walk,
can't
from
get
the,
that anywhere else.
I parked
in schools for 200 years.
I parked in the wrong spot. I saw a bunch of people walking into a place.
You were on the north lot,
so I went to the gymnasium side.
Yeah, that's not where you want to be.
And the memorial's way on the other side.
Performing Arts Center.
So like an idiot, I started to walk, and I got all the way there, and I said, "Nah, I'm just going to pull my car all the way up here."
Did you see the football stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Very
it's
nice.
Huge.
So I went back on my car and pulled to the right side, but very well done. Buck Swope, I think, was in charge of, he put all the slideshow together. They had like a 15, 20-minute slideshow of a bunch of pictures of Jay, all the way from when he was a kid up until his adulthood. And a lot of people there I haven't seen in a while. Tony Hubert hadn't seen in a while. Jason Posey was there. Hadn't seen him in a while.
Oh, Posey, man.
Buster Posey?
Yeah, he was there.
He got trained, like railroaded by somebody, didn't he?
He did, yeah. One of the reasons why they changed the rule, you can't barrel over the catcher.
Right.
Johnny Marisak hadn't seen in a long time. But, yeah, it was well done. Dave Green spoke. His ex-wife, Sue, who we called Gummy, she spoke. The kids spoke.
What's Gummy mean?
I don't know. Jay just called her Gummy.
I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah. He had a nickname for everybody.
He did. He always did have a nickname for folks.
That was part of Dave's speech. He rattled off a bunch of nicknames that Jay started for people.
Angry? Did Angry make the cut?
Angry was in there.
Yeah, I didn't have to think. We got a text here. The sign of a quality education. Places to sit. It's from the 314.
But, I mean, as you walk through, it's almost like a garden area. Everywhere you walk, there's nice benches, and they're normally in memory of somebody. There's a lot of places to sit and relax. But yeah, a lot of people there. A lot of people I didn't see until I left. I saw Klaibs when I left. Never did see Bob Ramsey, but I saw a picture of him with a bunch of people last night. So I guess he was there. I didn't see Rammer. But a lot of people there. It was very well done. The kids were, his daughter, Grace, gave the best speech. She mentioned Foot Fetish Friday. She goes, yeah, you know, this dad would give me a nice talk, and then I'd see a picture of him with some girl's foot in his mouth.
Oh, gosh.
Cuddle up.
Someone's already requested the name Zach's wife, Gummy. And so that's been granted.
Zach's wife. No, it was Jay's wife. Jay's ex-wife, Sue Klein, who he called Gummy.
I'll just change the guy's name to Gummy. Yeah. I think that'll work.
Yeah, shorten it.
Think that works?
You know, during the Dotum, people were posting on the fan page about some of Jay's great videos at Normandy Golf Course.
Oh,
about,
some of the best.
You know, hot dogs at 8:30, you know.
French fries.
Messing up the bathroom, the shoe situation.
Yeah.
And you always miss him, at the Dotum, because, you know, that was his, he was at home. Riding around with Lisa Ann at his home track with his favorite radio show. His camp people were there. It's, Jay is, man, it's crazy. And Buckswope did a tremendous job on the video.
Did you see it?
Yeah, he put it on the fan page, and there was a ton of stuff I did not know, I've not seen before. Not just the childhood stuff, but a lot of old school show pictures prior to me being on TMA. So they were really cool.
Yeah, he had some I'd never seen before, like I said, his family, I guess, kept everything. Because I guess they gave him all these files and Swope just went through them all. But, I mean, my mom, when we were kids, took pictures with Polaroids. That's all we had. And those things disintegrate after about 6 months. So, not a lot of childhood pictures.
You don't have any pictures left of your childhood?
I think I may have some, but they're like black and white and they're kind of grainy.
I've got pictures of my great-grandparents in black and white from the 1800s that are still absolutely fine.
Incredible.
That is crazy.
I don't know where they went, because my mom did take a ton of pictures. I mean, she had the Polaroid and the Instamatic. She took a ton of pictures because she was somebody who liked to take pictures. But I don't know where they went. I thought my sister had them all, but went down to Gatlinburg. She brought all of the pictures with her, and we all kind of went through them. But I think some people kept some. I think my brother's got boxes that we've never seen. So they're somewhere. But
it's a good idea now to take pictures of the old pictures. Take pictures of your phone of the old pictures, and then you have a digital copy.
Or you can get them scanned and uploaded and done that way too. Really easy.
I mean, there were pictures of him with his grandfather, the senator. Pictures of him with, you know, Lee Trevino and all these celebrities with his grandfather when he was like 5 years old. And so, yeah, it was really well done.
Outstanding.
It was kind of sad, but it was good to see everybody. And
it's hard to believe it's been 6 months already.
Isn't that crazy? That's crazy.
Man, is time fly or what?
Boy.
Yeah, so thanks to Sue and thanks to the kids and thanks to Amy for having this and putting it all together.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Text on in your thoughts, 314-881-TMA5. You can call in and talk to KG in O-Town. In the Sekman Studios, 636-900-4-TMA. Plowhawk, it seems like that's a healthy snack I'm seeing you eat right now.
Nice little berries.
Berry medley.
I told you, Madison buys a bunch of produce. Don't want them to go to waste. I told you about the trick to where we can save fruit longer by you soak them in 8 cups water, 1 cup vinegar, and then 2 tablespoons of baking powder.
Baking soda?
Baking soda, yes.
Really?
So you just set them in a bowl. We have like this strainer, but you set it in there and kind of shake it and wiggle it around a little bit. Dry them out on a paper towel, put them in, and they last weeks longer.
Don't your strawberries taste like vinegar, though?
No, it tastes the exact same.
Are you buying in such large quantities that that's even necessary?
Well, sometimes you, A, forget about it. It's in there. You know, you're not really feeling the fruit at that time. You just don't want the thing to go to waste, so.
I've been buying a lot of cantaloupe lately.
See, that's the one thing I can't get on is the melons.
Yeah.
Cantaloupe.
I ate it for dessert.
Doug, Mount Rushmore of melons?
Oh, watermelon, certainly number one.
Uh-huh.
The cantaloupe would be two.
Yeah.
I'm running out of melons.
Honeydew.
Honeydew
would be three.
Is there another melon? Because I'm not positive that there is. Text in your fourth melon.
I don't know what another melon would be.
Cantaloupe's good. If they're ripe, though, they're good.
How about Scott Melonby? Yeah, does that count?
I'll count it.
Okay. I cut it in half and just spoon it up.
Little cantaloupe balls.
That's
for
how
eggs.
You eat a cantaloupe, for sure.
Well, my mom, I don't know how my mom did it. She used to... She'd have, like, moon-shaped cantaloupe with no rind on it. I don't know.
Because she cut underneath between the fruit and the rind.
The rind.
So we just, like, hand fruit.
They say, Doug, if you eat the rind of a watermelon, it's got a lot of fiber, calcium, stuff, good stuff, yeah.
You chew that.
Yeah, I mean, it takes some work, but someone said gourds. Are gourds melons?
I don't know.
It's a vegetable.
I think a pumpkin's a fruit. I think pumpkin and gourds are fruits.
Really? Hey.
I believe they are.
You can't eat a gourd, can you?
I don't know if you can eat a gourd. You can certainly eat the seeds.
You know what you can do with the gourd? Mm.
You decorate for Thanksgiving.
Nope.
Put it in your pocket and think you're hung.
Get all the seeds out and, like, you know, get just almost like a bowl-ish. And then you put in, like, a soup. You know, you make a soup. Put a soup mix in there.
Soup?
And then you make soup. I'm not kidding.
Why would you want gourd soup?
Or a dip, because you can put, like, cheese on top of it, put it in the oven. You can actually, you can't eat the gourd, I don't think. Maybe.
What purpose does a gourd have if you can't eat it?
It's for decorations on Halloween. That's all it's for.
And what
That's
I just
it?
Told you, a bowl of soup. Well, I promise it exists.
What about cornucopia?
A horn of plenty?
I've heard that word since second grade.
Yeah. Cornucopia.
Horn of plenty. Yeah. Like a little thing with stuff hanging out of it. That's just decorations.
Pumpkin is a squash, not a melon. It's from Dingle My Berries. Doug's melons round out my Mount Rushmore of melons. Manupal Eligible says Carnegie melon.
Carnegie melon,
Wouldn't a gourd be a gourd be a squash, too?
Yeah,
I like a good summer squash.
How about a winter squash? Yeah. You like that?
Good zucchini. Yellow squash, I like. Yellow squash, if you mix it up with asparagus, mushrooms, and rice and a little soy sauce, it's a nice meal.
Yeah.
We'll talk more squash in the appliance discounters, 8 o'clock hour.
We've killed some segments here, haven't we?
I'm frankly a little unprepared for the squash discussion.
It definitely should be 7:50. Sadly, it's only 7:25.
I don't like this attitude. You know, we're going to come in strong today. We're giving takes. It's Friday. It's the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. All the naughty boys are out there, and they want to hear from us about what we're doing for Memorial Day weekend. Nips out. Sun's out. And everyone's feeling good. Doug, what are you doing this weekend? What are you getting after? What are you you going down to the lake, cigarette boat kind of thing?
A friend of Greg Bond's is getting married this weekend.
Oh, mazel tov.
So he is in town, and... A lot of this friend who's getting married, friends are common friends of ours, so a couple days of partying, I think, with that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So a wedding this weekend is what you got?
Yeah.
And Plowhawk, you're taking the camper out for its maiden voyage?
Yeah, excited about the whole thing.
Oh.
It'll be fun. And we have that Monday off, which is great.
Absolutely.
Kind of a recoup day.
Yeah, recharge our batteries. Lord knows that we're exhausting ourselves over here.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are clearly shaken about what's happened to Tim, to know that it could happen to any of us in the broadcasting industry.
The St. Margaret of Scotland
there
thing.
There is speculation that that's why he's not here.
People actually think he's in Begath. What's funny.
Yeah.
He clearly fired.
Or serving a suspension for what he said.
Yeah.
He said clearly and with full throat that there was speculation that St. Margaret of Scotland might be one of the schools that could be closed.
And I agree with him.
And for such a reckless statement... One Twitter user was unhappy, and so I think that that's probably got something to do with this possible suspension.
He wasn't
canceled.
He wasn't canceled totally. Just had some time.
Yeah, he's laying low until the mob goes after someone else.
Right.
Maybe by the end of the weekend, someone else will say something. Could be one of us today. Who knows?
Yeah, Iggy, you think maybe just to get the heat off Tim, you might
fall on the sword,
throw some.
Well, I'd gladly do it because I agreed with him, and I went to school there for 2 years.
Where is it? Where is St. Margaret of Scotland?
Down in the city.
You know where Gringo Jones is?
Kind of by the Botanical Gardens?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in that area.
Yeah, down the right where. Because we walked to school. And I lived, not grew up, but through second grade, we lived on Flat Avenue. And I could walk. We walked to school, so it had to be close to Shaw Garden, Botanical Garden. We could see the white wall from our street, from Flat.
White wall?
Botanical Garden, whatever that thoroughfare is at the end, they had a big white wall.
All right.
A lot of people would hop it to go into the garden, but there was a big white wall. And from our house on Flat, you could see at the end of the street the Botanical Garden. So St. Margaret of Scotland's got to be somewhere around there.
Well, it is. Yeah, we've established that. We've all been there.
But I don't know that. I don't know the name of the street that it's on.
No, but we've just gave a general area, so I think.
But I know that was a nice little neighborhood because they had a confectionery where you could buy your candy. They had a Mr. Frosty.
No.
There, we could go. We get ice cream on the way home, and so that was a nice little neighborhood.
Uh-huh. So you were St. Margaret of Scotland, then you went where? St. Mary Magdalene.
St. Mary Magdalene, third grade.
Gotcha.
Where we moved to Brentwood. And that's where I grew up. Yeah, I remember Flat Avenue. I can't remember what I had for dinner last night, but I can remember, like, in second grade, we loved when it rained because my neighbor, we lived in a two-family flat, so we lived downstairs, they lived upstairs. And he had a lot of toy trucks. And when it would rain, you know, the rain would go down the gutters, you know, in the street.
Yeah.
And we'd go out and play with our boats and our trucks in the water.
Huh.
Okay.
These are little musings.
I was waiting for, like...
These are musings from the retirement center.
But I remember, I was in second grade, and I remember that. I remember that we used to sit out on the porch, and my neighbor upstairs would bring down two boxes of instant pudding, and we would just eat the pudding right out of the box, just the dust.
Ew.
Pudding dust.
You just eat, like, pudding shrapnel?
Pudding dust and stare out at the white wall.
Ugh. When did you grow up in the late 30s?
No, this is probably, well, if I was second grade, it was probably early 60s.
So you'd play with boats and rainwater and then eat
times
pudding
weren't
dust.
That tough in the early 60s.
No, but that's just
the city was thriving
back
then.
That's just what we like to eat. She'd bring down, she goes, listen, pudding. We just like dump it in her mouth. I mean, it's just like, Blousy still eats those pixie sticks, don't you?
You still eat pixie sticks, Flock?
I haven't had a pixie stick in a while, but I did eat the fun dip, if that's what you were talking
fun
about.
Fun dip. That's all of it.
But the pixie sticks, you know, you'd open up, you just dump all that sugar.
Can I say that one more time?
Okay.
Dump all that sugar in your mouth. The same thing with the pudding. You just put your hands out, and she pours them in, and you just lick it.
Ugh. That's just like eating dry pancake mix.
Yeah, or sawdust or something like that.
That was chocolate.
Chocolate sawdust.
So that was how I grew up as a kid.
Doug, could there be a worse thing possibly in this world for you than a pixie stick? You know what a pixie stick is?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Have you seen the big
Starburst
ones?
Starburst is pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Have you seen the big pixie sticks?
Yeah, the thick ones? They'll sell those to you on the side of the road.
Those are insane.
It's just straight sugar. Like, they're just, it's not, they're not even like trying to hide it. It's like, this is sugar inside of this stick, and you're just going to eat it.
Yeah,
you're almost getting cucked when you're eating it.
Sugar didn't used to have the bad name that it has now. There are even commercials on TV about pure cane sugar from Hawaii, and this is what's in all the food. And
right.
Yeah, no one thought anything of it.
It was pure. There was no additives in there. Now they have additives in everything.
But it's still sugar.
Right, it's still not great for you.
But the thing they sold on the side of the road that I don't think they do anymore was the Saturday morning pretzels.
They still do that. They do that in South City.
Do they?
Pretzel Boys, yeah. They'll be right there on, like, Jameson and...
Filer.
Filer and Jameson, baby.
Yeah, right by that gas station.
You ever buy them?
No.
No. Because I never could tell.
They can't be warm. They've been sitting out there for that long. If you're having a soft pretzel and it's not warm, like, what's the point?
And who knows where the pretzel's been if you're buying it off a guy standing on a street corner.
I'm less worried about that and more worried about the heat.
Well, I was told one time that, that these pretzels are in a big factory, and it's, like, filthy.
Mm.
They've been in there, and there's, like, ants and rats, and there's a big...
Oh, that's lovely.
They just go in there on Saturdays and pick up their bags of pretzels and
this
roll
is just
them
the,
out to...
Like, just all the pretzel places?
Roll them out to the corner. No, just the... When you buy them on the street, they get them all from one factory.
Oh, I got what you're saying.
You know, the pretzel sticks.
Well, it's not dairy or anything, so it can't hurt you too bad, probably.
Just dough.
We used to get them every Saturday. My grandpa would always take us to. I probably told the story. People text in.
A thousand times with the pretzel story.
Trust me, that's already been coming in.
More memories from Del Mar Gardens.
Someone said with Tim out, you guys were doing a three-hour sound story for Ken. That's from Sweet Fancy Moses.
We should do that.
But my grandpa would take us to the confectionery. That's what we called them back then, little dime store. We'd stop and get pretzels. He'd buy the paper. And then me and my brother, we'd each get a box of baseball cards. And we'd just sit there and open our cards. We got a Cardinal card. We kept them. If there weren't a Cardinal card, they went into a big box.
Oh.
And then we'd just, like, flip them and trade them and stuff.
And
like
then
that.
There was a big piece of gum in there also.
Yep.
Ooh, probably tasty gum, too. Not dry or anything.
It was good. It was good.
You know, the funny thing is you can still, some of these.
cut your teeth in half.
Some of these memorabilia stores still sell those old cards. Like, you can go and buy a pack of, 1972 whatever Tops, and the gum is still in there.
Oh, the 89 Tops with the gum with the Michael Jordan rookie card. Those individual packs are expensive as hell.
Yeah, and cards are having, they've been in a revitalization for a couple of years now.
It's just not sustainable. I can't do it. There's a lot of cards that'd be fun to own, but like.
I don't know. There are still boxes of these things. Like, I was at a card show not long ago. My friend Larry puts it on every year. Another guy's selling like 84 Tops, which I think might have been the Sandberg rookie card. He's got boxes of them. Now, these are like 40 years old. How do they still have boxes? I mean, Tops had to run out at some point. And people back in 84, they weren't saving them. They would open up for the cards. This guy had like 100 boxes of 84s and 85s and 82s. And
clearly he was saving them.
Yeah, but where do they come from? They can't. The cards I see, people say, but boxes, unopened boxes?
I've saved my boxes when I was a kid in the early 60s. And I kept thinking these are going to really be worth something someday. And I went through them and I had Willie Mays and Nolan Ryan and Hank Aaron and Bob Gibson and all these Hall of Famers, and took it to, I think, one of your friends, Iggy.
Larry, probably.
Yeah, showed it to him. He says, not much.
Probably not in good shape.
But some of them were in real good shape.
That's the thing, though, is like it's less about like who's on the card and more about who, like what kind of condition it's in, because they have like the ratings that they do. And if it's not a certain rating, you can't even sell it.
It's both, though. The better the player, the more it's worth.
Well, right.
But you got to, the kicker of the whole thing is you got to send it away to get rated, and oftentimes having it rated is more expensive than what the cards were.
Right, exactly.
So, the hell with it. Forget
yeah,
it. Never mind.
People use that for, if you have a really old card, like a 57 Mickey Mantle or something, which if it's, grade 9 or 10, it's probably
worth. I have plenty of Mickey Mantles.
It's probably worth a couple $1,000.
Not so these, apparently.
Plowboy, Jordan's rookie card wasn't in 89, you liar. Stop talking about what you do not know. It's from the big old fan.
I said I really didn't know. I'm just guessing.
It's not a lie if you just say something incorrect.
Netly, man. It's like, come on.
See, they're coming after you. The mob is coming after you. Maybe this will take some of the heat off of Tim.
I don't.
It would have been 84. 84 was
the big rookie card in 89 was Griffey.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Swingman.
Yeah. We used to go.
Man, should I leave?
Yeah.
Am I fired now? Am I suspended?
Very
too?
Thin ice. Yeah. Don't even look at Twitter.
There'll be a
Don't
hearing.
Don't even look at it.
Yeah, there'll be a hearing.
My brother got lucky one time. He bought a box of 89s at Schnucks. Schnucks used to sell baseball cards back in the day. And he pulled a Griffey out of one box.
Ooh. An 89?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Did he hold on to it?
Probably for a little while. And who knows what he did with it.
Yeah. Plowhawk, I think. So, actually, I'm going to take Plowsy's misstep and transition it, because 1984 would have been Jordan's rookie year, and that is detailed in the film Air. And we have a TMA app contest partnering with the movie Air, because we want to give you a $500 Visa gift card. Doug, all you have to do to get a $500 Visa gift card is sign up on the TMA STL app for our app contest. You just enter. It takes 20 seconds, you can win $500 Visa gift card. Maybe you buy that new TV so you can watch Air on Prime Video. You register right now.
Just be a winner picked randomly?
Yeah, just like all the app contests are. Yeah.
So Stephen Wildwood.
Thank you again.
How many, I'm just curious, how many people do we have on our app?
I have no idea.
I'm curious, for the $500 gift card, how many more we're going to get in the next week or so?
I couldn't tell you. I would assume when we raffle off that trip to Sandals, That would have probably been our highest volume of entries.
One of the winners actually posted. This was
that was great.
A month ago, it looked fantastic, and that's what can happen when you're a part of this show.
Right.
Oh, now someone's trying to come after me. Jesus, Jackson, you can stop lying too. It's 86-87 rookie. I will guarantee you, it's 84-85. I'd be willing to put my reputation on it. Yeah. Jordan's rookie year was 84-85.
I guess we could look it up.
Both of you have careers very much on the line right now.
Well, let's
find out. We're
going to
lose 3/5 of our show here in about a week.
I know. Just one by one.
We'll 86-87. There's
get
no
up
way
to our chairs and leave.
I used to have the Ozzie Smith rookie card, the 79, in the Padres, and then I had the 82, which was his first Cardinal card. I used to have both of those.
Oh, what do you know? 1984, his rookie season. So, big old fan. I hope that your apology is as loud as your disrespect. That's all I want to say. Because the Jordan 4, my favorite sneaker ever, came out in 1989, which means that the 85 Jordan 1 would have come then. The 2s, the 3s, the 4s would have been 89. So, like I said, please make your apology as loud as your disrespect.
As we heard quite a bit last night at the Memorial, big old fan, go get your shine bucks.
Oh.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and my favorite, asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/McKernan50 and use code McKernan50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code McKernan50 at factormeals.com/McKernan50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
He said his damn rookie card from Fleer was 1986. I'm sorry you're wrong. But you were saying he was a rookie in 86, 87. I don't know about Fleer or cards. I was born in 1998. His damn rookie card was 1986. I don't know about
that. Is this honesty in media or is this just balloon party?
It's always honesty in media, baby.
I'm seeing a lot of 86 on Michael Jordan rookie cards.
Okay, so the rookie card is different than his rookie season, and he didn't clarify.
Sure.
We went on a topic, Doug, that we knew nothing about, and I messed up.
I just hope you both have backup plans for employment. Because
actually,
it's not going well.
My Indeed former producer board operator. Yeah. Okay.
So Crystal City Clamhammer lays it out, and he does it in a nice way. He's just left my Mount Rushmore of textures I don't like.
Really?
His rookie year was 84. The Jordan rookie card that his most sought after is an 86 Fleer. Okay. So everybody is on the same page. So another text, Jackson, you're both correct. Jordan's rookie year was 84-85, but they didn't make basketball cards that year. Okay.
Okay. So it's not really his rookie card. It's his first card.
Right. His rookie card is 1986, Virgin, abort now. I understand it doesn't make sense. That's from Carlos Spicy.
Yeah.
Now some rational people are texting in.
Gosh.
I went to a auction one time.
All right.
It was I don't know what the foundation was. But a lot of old people there
who knew
nothing about memorabilia. So they were buying the jewelry and the trips. And I think I got a Ray Bourque game used stick for $10. And there was a Michael Jordan autographed basketball that I got for $150. And I gave it to my sister because my sister...
She's doing your laundry.
she just said, here's some money if you want to buy something. You think is worth something, go ahead. So I bought the Jordan basketball, and I gave it to her, and I said, here, just put it in the closet and keep it because it's going to be worth a lot of money one day. I have no idea where it's at.
Oh, no. Gosh. Have you looked?
Yeah. When she passed away, we went through all the stuff in the house, and it wasn't there, so I don't know what happened to it. No, her little kid probably went on, my little nephew probably went on to play basketball with it one day. Just left it in a kid's backyard, probably.
Doug, I'm looking here at Michael Jordan autographed Fleer 1986 rookie card. You want to go venture a guess on the price?
Autographed.
One's autographed and one isn't.
And what kind of condition is the card in?
Perfect condition.
I bet the autograph took away from the card.
Oh, I can assure you it did not.
No. 2,000?
Go way over.
20,000?
Way over.
50.
Over.
100?
$100,000.
Gosh.
Oh, I see one here, $99,999.99.
Now, that's what they're asking.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. This is on Amazon, so it's not like eBay or anything where you can bid. This is just, this is what,
and then there's one. That's been sold for like $3 million.
$3 million?
$3 million? The highest one right now was the Mantle $10 million, or nine. I forgot which one that one was.
Yeah, the Honus Wagner was $450,000. The Honus Wagner T206, I think, was like $450,000.
Oh, my God.
Who has such stupid money that they would even care about having it?
Wayne Gretzky, I think, bought that card.
Luka sold for $4.6 million.
He has a card.
A card.
For $4.6 million.
Auto. Mickey Mantle, number one, $12.6 million. Honus Wagner, $7.25.
No.
Another Honus Wagner at $6.6. Mickey Mantle again. LeBron rookie patch. Patrick Mahomes, 4.3, Trout, 3.9. Honus Wagner again, and Wayne Gretzky.
Honus Wagner, I remember Gretzky buying that car for $450,000. There's no way it could have went up to $6 million.
No, there appears to be two different ones.
It's unbelievable. The price, I can't imagine ever spending that kind of money on
There's
that.
No way a baseball car is worth that much money.
No.
It's only worth what someone's willing to buy.
No, I mean,
the Honus Wagner one that sold for...
Yeah, I've seen that picture before, that card.
That tobacco card. Back when they would put cards in
that's my little
tobacco
order.
Packs.
I've always heard Honus Wagner.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because his
name.
First name was Johann Wagner. His family was
German. Yeah.
They changed it to
He was a big Honus. Old brute.
Is it cute?
Considered by many the greatest shortstop of all time.
Cue this pre-Depression era shortstops go.
Oh, Archie Vaughn, I guess.
Archie
See,
Vaughn.
There's
the uniforms used to wear back in Honus Wagner's days.
4.6er, one of one logo, man.
They would wear wool sweaters.
Ew.
In the
wool
summer.
Wool sweaters.
Yeah. Well, on that picture, the Honus Wagner car, look what he's wearing. It looks like
Ugh,
what they wear in Finland.
That could have been an early spring game, maybe, or late
Dude, there's
fall.
Collars underneath.
Oh, the baseball before, like, the 40s is some of the strangest video you'll ever see. I just find it so odd.
It's really hard to... I know we can't compare eras, Doug, and it's harder to... In basketball, it's easier to kind of go, okay, you played in the 80s, you'll probably be good in the 90s. Dude, baseball before the 1940s, there's not many that you can... I mean.
I don't
Babe
know.
Ruth.
If you look
oh,
at
yeah, you got that, you got the big
film,
trio, but man, watching that is so hard. They're throwing 84, 85, using the same ball too, so it's harder for hitters, I get that, but
well, it was a dead ball for years until Ruth came along.
So when they say dead ball, that means they just use the same ball the entire game.
Well,
right?
the ball was just made differently, so that it didn't go as far when you hit it. I think that's how pitchers like Cy Young were able to pitch almost every night. They probably just it was like softball. Here it is, hit it.
Yeah. Isn't the most wins in the season like 59 by some guy on the White Sox in like the early 1900s? Right. Like, how could someone break that record?
I think Jack Chesbro won like 41, maybe.
You know, some guys don't get 41 starts in 3 years.
No.
How could someone possibly beat that?
What year did they stop using each other's gloves?
Yeah, the outfielders used to leave the gloves in the outfield.
Yeah, they get down there.
Couldn't even take them into the dugout.
They'd leave it there for the other team to use.
Charles Radburn.
Yeah,
in a single season, winning 60 games.
That's a nice year.
In 1884.
How many did he lose?
1884.
But that was back in the day where you just had one starting pitcher, right? Like, there was like, here's your starting pitcher.
Okay, we're going to go.
I'm not sure. It must have been. I mean, Major League Baseball didn't start till like 1869, right? Wasn't that the start?
That sounds right.
Old Hoss Radburn.
Sure.
Old Hoss.
310 wins.
Jesus.
And 502 starts. God, he threw 4,500 innings.
310 wins is nothing. Cy Young had 511.
I know, but I'm looking at... here he is. He started at 26, too, in 1881.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
He's Hall of Famer. 25 wins, 33 wins, 48 wins. He was 60-12.
Jesus. Doug, imagine throwing 72 baseball games in one year.
Well, and also, they didn't bring in relief pitchers either. You were the pitcher. So you get shelled. You got all the decisions, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, there wasn't
Unless
like a...
Unless you got hurt.
2.6 career ERA.
But I think it was probably a game of trying to make the ball move and spit on it and spit balls. It probably wasn't how hard can I throw every single pitch.
Right.
60-12 with a 1.38 ERA.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
But when you see old film of guys like Babe Ruth and Rogers Hornsby swing a bat, you can say, oh, yeah, I can see how they could play today.
Right, yeah.
I mean, those are big-time swings.
Especially Hornsby. Like, Ruth, I think people get, like, so caught up in, like, his, like, weight and, like, his body. You're like, yeah, that doesn't look like Mike Trout today, but it is different. And when you see him swing, you're like, oh, yeah, that's why he was.
Yeah.
This isn't the best stat of all of this season. 73 games started, 73 complete games.
Who was that? Old Hoss?
Old Hoss.
Well, they didn't have relief pitchers back then. You got... Shelled, you're in there for the game.
Hippo Vaughn was another really good pitcher back then.
Hippo Vaughn.
Related to him?
No.
What about Arky?
Not that I know of. Arky spelled the last name differently.
All right, Hippo Vaughn won the Triple Crown and ERA title, not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's robbed.
Holy crap, he started at age 20. Yeah, in 1918, he had 22 wins, 10 losses, 1.74 ERA. Dude, Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's not in the Hall of Fame.
How many wins?
20 wins. This is.
But I mean, how many total wins for his career?
Total wins, only 178 total wins.
Well, that's not getting in the Hall of Fame.
And 137 losses. Okay, there are some bad seasons that he's had in there. Maybe.
I won't sit here and listen to you disparage Hippo Vaughn. I just won't. James Hippo Vaughn, right?
The nicknames are way better back then.
Oh, yeah.
Babe Ruth was a great pitcher.
Yeah.
People don't remember about him. He's first.
Everybody remembers that.
Yeah, they probably do.
And the Red Sox traded him because the guy who owned the Red Sox wanted to finance a play, and so they traded him to the Yankees, and then the curse.
That's what started it.
That's brutal. But then you go, like, 80 years later, and you see Bob Gibson's numbers, and you're like, well, that's also,
no,
like,
Ryan
nothing you could
that
ever.
Even. We're...
1968, Bob Gibson had a 1.12 ERA.
Yeah, and look at how many games he lost.
He lost 9 games.
Look,
he's 22-9.
He stayed in. They stayed in the whole way.
Yeah.
Figured he can't lose 9 games of that year, right?
Also, the mound was taller back then, so it was easier to
pitch. They lowered it after his year.
Right.
Yeah. And he wasn't the only one pitching really well. There's all kinds of pitchers had career years.
And there was a lot of offensive Hall of Famer that I think he faced in that era, too.
Oh, sure.
I mean, kind of the prime.
Well, you look at here's July 1968. He threw 54 innings that month. And he carried an ERA of 0.5. He had a 0.5 ERA in the month of July.
What would that get you paid in this day and age?
He also had the same ERA in the month of June.
Well, ask Jack Flaherty, because that's about the second half of the season he had.
He really did have something like that. But that whole season right there, what if that was your walk year? That would be unbelievable.
I wish they had the radar clock to know how hard he was throwing.
Yeah.
Probably low 90s.
He had a wicked slider, too, that they couldn't.
There was no such thing as a walk year back then because there was no free agency.
Yeah. I mean, if there was and that was, like, his opportunity, you would get paid so much money if you had a season like that.
What the hell is going on? You guys suck ass. Maybe talk about Plowboy Boom Boom Room and his pop-up trailer. That's from the Worson Woods Wacko, Who's at War with Mr. Licks.
Yeah.
We suck ass?
We did that earlier. We just kind of... This is kind of like a stream of consciousness 3 hours without Tim.
Jackson, what time do you guys take tapioca break and change your depends? That's from the Austin Ass Hanky.
I will not have people disparage tapioca pudding. I flat won't.
It's very good.
Thank you, Doug.
It takes when you do it, you can buy the cups, but I always like to buy the box and make it myself. You guys sit there and stir that stuff constantly for like 30 minutes.
Tapioca?
Or it burns to the bottom of the pot.
I usually just open up the
but at least it
snack
doesn't...
pack and... Two spoons.
At least it doesn't hurt your dentures. Your bridge work stays in place.
Guys, I'll be at Sunset Hills Country Club today getting in a practice round with Hinnin, our friend Timmy Mack, and our internet friend Bear Claw. It's from Wooden Shoe 02.
Well, Sunset Hills Country Club is in Edwardsville, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then there's Sunset Country Club, which
is
in...
Sunset Hills.
Right. Your neck of the woods, nape of the
Very way. Close. About walking distance.
Yeah. You kind of run that town.
Very much so.
Yeah. You feel as if you kind of... set the tone for the entire neighborhood.
I swagger a lot when I walk. Yeah.
Like bounce your neck around.
Yeah, just let everybody know that there's the sheriff.
Like, you're the first one that turns on the machinery on the weekend. Like, if you're turning on the
machinery.
Switch, I pretty much flip the switch.
Let's
say
you're trimming bush and people go, okay, Vaughn's out there. Let's we can finally go out there and do it.
Oh, Doug, an offer's come in.
What's it?
Doug, I'll buy you a grill if I can have Sunday supper with you once a month. That's from Doug's work husband.
Once a month?
That's yeah. That's not worth
Sunday
it.
Supper. No. Sunday. You like when people say Sunday supper.
I
though.
Don't. Maybe.
Would you do it if he said just once?
Just one time for a new grill?
1,000,000%.
Yeah, probably.
And you get to pick the grill, Doug.
And oh, the meal. And the meal.
That's when you buy a tray.
Turkey burgers? You got turkey burgers?
I love turkey burgers.
Yeah, I do too. They get dry real quick, though.
Well,
put Andrew's barbecue sauce on them, though.
Have you ever had a Cajun black bean burger?
That's a big big staple of my father's diet.
They are fantastic.
Is it the Cajun spicy? Because I won't eat it if it is.
I don't know if it's that spicy. It's just an alternative to a patty. We had them a bunch at City Park Grill, and never really thought they'd be good. Gave one a try recently, and they are tremendous. I've had fake chicken, too, because we go...
How was that?
Weekend vacationing with vegetarians, and so we try to accommodate as much as we can, and it's surprisingly really good. You can kind of tell it's not real meat.
But if they didn't tell you, would you know?
Not really, because this chicken sandwich had, you know, like, it was the works.
Yeah, Impossible Meat's pretty good.
Is that a picture of me and Larry Nichols?
Yeah, we got a picture of you and Larry Nichols doing that video for Hot Shots.
Okay.
One of the best.
Yeah, I was going to blacken the my Wednesday, but I know you're not into, like, the spicy stuff, so I didn't.
My neck just broke with that. No, so my, he's in the fridge.
No, we were talking spicy, so.
I took it home yesterday and ate it as soon as I got home.
Good stuff.
Good.
Yeah, it's very good.
I need to get into fish. It's such a black hole on my...
Omega-3? You kidding me?
I know.
Fish is good for you.
I know. I just don't like it.
And you can do so many different things with it to make it taste good. People just think, it's so bland. No. Many different things you can do with fish.
Here's my thing. I love, I do like fish, but when it comes to, things in the sea, I like seafood more. Like, I like having a red snapper, or, other, fish item, but... I like scallops. I like mussels, clam. I like that stuff. Yeah. When lobster.
So you like shellfish more than fish.
Yeah, but nothing disparaging against the fish. Mahi-mahi, red snapper.
Fish will be offended.
Are fantastic. I'm just more of a crustacean.
Are you fish phobic?
But here's the
Everything
thing.
Everything in the ocean's awesome.
Well, here's the thing. Is when I smell that fishy ocean smell, my stomach turns.
Really?
And that's what fish...
don't eat the porpoises.
But that's what fish tastes like. It tastes like the fishy smell, so how could I like it?
No, it doesn't.
I think you
got the only fish that kind of tastes, kind of smells fishy is salmon.
Yeah.
And I love salmon. You can take salmon from our freezer, put it in the air fryer, completely frozen, put some olive oil on it and, season it.
Yeah.
And in 10 minutes, you got yourself an amazing salmon wrap, salmon Caesar salad, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Salmon is so versatile easy to cook.
My parents are, upset with me that I don't like fish. They feel like they raised me
wrong. They're disappointed in you.
Yeah. They've been disappointed in me before, Doug.
But never probably to that extent.
Get yourself a nice piece of Dover sole.
I had Dover sole on the cruise. It was the worst meal I had.
It truly was. You're on a cruise ship. That thing has probably been frozen for a month and a half, two months.
They're in the ocean.
It's like every other Dover sole that you're getting.
You think they're fishing off the cruise ship?
Well, I would assume.
What are we having for dinner tonight, Captain? I don't know. What do you got over there, Bill? I caught a Dover. All right.
I'd have to think that when you're in the middle of the ocean, it's going to be fresher than when you're in landlocked Missouri.
No, because you're on a ship, and they probably get that seafood for the whole ship. So it's been there for 2-3 weeks frozen. The Dover sole I get is caught on a plane.
Doubtful.
Frozen and into your... And a day later into your... Into
doubtful.
The, it is.
Highly doubtful.
Well, I know it
that
is.
That you're eating it one day after it's been caught.
I know it is.
I have to see that to believe it.
Well.
So you really enjoyed the Dover sole on the cruise, Doug?
No.
Well, when you go to Olive
and
Oak...
It was flat and kind of tasteless.
When you get to Olive and
so
Oak...
so much good fish, I've said, I wasted this meal.
It's because they're
Dover
cooking
sole.
For 1,000 people on a ship.
The food was outstanding on this ship. Well, outstanding.
Go to Olive and Oak and get the Dover sole and let me know what you think.
I like beef cheek. You ever had beef cheek?
No, I don't even know what it is.
It's good.
That sounds awesome.
Beef cheek's good.
What is it?
That's beef cheek. Tongue is really popular, too.
I don't want
cow tongue,
Slice off the ass of the cow.
I don't want oxtail. I don't want brain, tongue,
You would love oxtail.
I certainly don't want a snoot sandwich.
What about pig feet?
No.
Me and Doug were on a Galentine's Day date several years ago. I know Doug doesn't like calling it a date, but it was. And we were at a
point...
We're at a point that they tried to remember that the tile fish was the big menu item there. Everybody around us. Yeah, everybody around us was eating it. We didn't know.
We didn't know. Turns out it's what like common fish that everybody eats.
Yeah, and then we look it up and it's like the highest mercury content. Like when I Googled it was like all caps warning.
Oh yeah.
Like edible, but highly there's so much mercury in it. Me and Doug are like, nah.
No to the tile fish.
What's that one fish you cooked that looks just awful? Like it has a weird name and it kind of looks sluggy.
Monkfish.
Monkfish. That's it.
That's like the poor man's lobster.
Ugh. Yeah.
A lot of membrane on it. That's why I don't get it anymore. Cause...
membrane. Oh.
Well, it's just like
Doug. Here's a monkfish. If you want to dig into that.
Oh, I'm not that hungry.
I actually want to look at.
It's just like sweetbreads. Sweetbreads are great. But you have to peel the membrane off.
See, why do they call them sweetbreads? Because it's a very appealing name for not something that is very... I haven't had it, but it doesn't look appetizing on the plate.
Oh, they're delicious.
Oh, my God, the monkfish.
But the monkfish has a lot of membrane, too, so if it's not cleaned totally, you got to sit there and peel all and
that
peel
fish
it off.
That fish definitely lives
I'm not
in Imperial.
How big does the mouth have to be on that fish?
That
what's
fish
it eating?
Is it in a river in Imperial just waiting to be caught.
You would run away from that. You don't want to catch that. If you saw it on your line, you'd cut the line and let it go.
I think it's a monster.
It tastes like lobster a little bit.
No, thanks.
But I just don't like taking all the membrane off. Yeah. That's why if I can get sweetbreads with no membrane on it, they've cleaned it for me, great. But... a lot of times, it's still got it on there, and you got to sit there and peel all
you're
that.
You're hung up on this membrane.
Yeah, because I don't like peeling it off. It's like skin.
All right.
Can my text name be Bill's Dover? That's from the 618. Sure, I don't care. I've been vegetarian for 2 decades. The alternatives available now are amazing compared to 20 years ago. Unfortunately, they still haven't figured out how to properly replicate the sinfulness of a hot dog. Just too much of a mystery meat to solve. That's from Manute Bowl Eligible.
What they have done very well in the vegetarian vegan community is the French fries. Because it's all about the oil, baby, and all about like what, like.
Don't say baby talking about
it
French
is
fries.
Vegan French fries.
Can't you eat a French fry if you're a vegetarian?
If you're a vegetarian, for sure, but vegan, maybe not.
Yeah, vegan is the but when you go into places like this, it's almost all vegan. Like they're
right.
Most of the time, you don't cater to a vegetarian because vegetarians will eat what vegans eat. So
to an extent,
that's why so it's
dairy
a lot of faux everything. Right. But what they do with the French fry game, man. Is really good. And like I said, the chicken was great. I haven't had a ton of items. But when we go on vacation, like I said, we try to do one or two meals that are definitely vegan, vegetarian. They were great.
Yeah, there's
no
complaints. A lot of other ways to get protein other than...
I like a good cucumber sandwich.
Dead meat.
See, we do the...
cucumber sandwich.
Gosh.
We do the fried cucumbers. season.
Back to the desperate period of the Great Depression.
No, I'm talking about vegetarian.
So it's white bread and cucumbers?
Yeah. Not, usually use some kind of artisan bread, but...
maybe like a dill spread?
And if you want to put a little guacamole spread on it or avocado spread on it, or just slice up some avocados with your cucumber and a little lettuce, tomato. It's kind of a vegetarian sandwich.
I like cucumbers.
Guys, they call them sweetbreads because thymus gland sounds disgusting. Again, from the Austin ass hanky.
Well, yeah.
What about haggis? Isn't haggis like the guts wrapped up in the bladder?
But like entrails. Let's have an entrail dinner. No,
or tripe, just guts.
Goat tripe. Yeah. Well, that comes from milk, right?
Tripe? That's guts, isn't it? It's like the small intestine.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
I think sweetbreads are also called Rocky Mountain oysters.
No, that's like bowl nuts.
Yeah.
That's like testicles.
But a lot of people thought that sweetbreads are like sheep's nuts.
But that's like it's the thymus gland, right?
Yeah.
Hey, dumb F, French fries are vegan and vegetarian as long as they're fried in vegetable oil. That's from the Austin Ass Hanky. This Austin Ass Hanky is...
God, he's angry today.
Potato, veggie, or olive oil, salt. Why would that not be vegan? Questions are coming in. I don't have answers to them.
Well, I'm not vegan, so
I don't really know. Like I said, I eat a ton of crap and shove red meat down my gullet every day. So like I don't do the ins and outs.
What, red meat?
I love red meat.
Don't vegans sometimes eat meat, though? Like a vegetarian would not eat meat, but a vegan would every once in a while?
No.
Well, quite the opposite.
What does Lisa Ann consider herself?
Probably vegetarian, if I had to guess.
Because she's eaten meat.
I don't know.
She goes on vacation and she'll eat meat.
That would,
like
that,
a burger?
That's, I don't know if that's any, that's just a vegetarian who will occasionally eat meat, probably for convenience sake.
So I thought a vegan would maybe eat meat.
No, vegan is like, they don't eat anything like that might harm an animal. Like, so no milk, no cheese, no eggs.
No honey.
No honey, yeah, because it comes from bees. Like, nothing
from
animals. It's
like stealing
animals.
From the bees? It doesn't harm the bees, does
how
it?
Does,
you're
how
just
does,
stealing
how does milk
it?
Hurt a cow? Are you doing
it's not hurting
on
it.
Its nipples?
It's
oh,
take,
no. Cow, dairy cows get raped to become pregnant, so they give milk. They get mechanically raped so that they become pregnant. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any milk coming out.
Yeah, I mean, anything from an animal, like taking something from an animal. Like, we're the only, and I know this gets brought up and is almost like a hack, but it's, we are the only species that drinks milk from another animal. No other species drinks another animal's milk. We're the only ones who do that. So some people have issue with all that.
Well, the animals don't know what milk is. They drink out of a river. We don't do that.
We kind of do. We just filter it.
I also seen a raccoon eat, like, trash. I don't do that either.
Yeah, I mean, we're not trying to, like, have a moral superiority complex with the wild animals.
Look, I could save a lot.
I'm just telling you, like, what the truth is.
I could save a lot of money and be a rich man. If I got hungry, all I'd do is walk out and start nibbling on a tree.
Yeah, that'd be
You'd
pretty.
You'd be rich if you could just
Yeah, because I would never pay for food. I just go out.
You'd also die of, like, malnourishment.
I'm hungry. I think I'm just going to go eat this grass.
Well,
go out on the lawn and eat.
A lot of plants out there that you could eat, just not very good.
Right.
Apparently, you can eat dandelions.
Some trees
really?
Are edible.
Mm-hmm. Bro, you won't catch me eating a flower, dandelion.
LaManna did that in The Sopranos. He went to a vacant lot and found some nice dandelions for the salad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It tastes like red fescue.
I saw a doctor online saying that cashews are in the poison ivy family. He said, don't eat cashews. They come from the poison ivy families. Okay.
I've had enough about people telling me what to eat.
Have you?
You can't keep up with it.
No.
Some things that were healthy 2 years ago now are dangerous. Like, right. I'm done with the propaganda. I realize Twinkies aren't the healthiest thing, but I'll eat a box of them because I don't care.
Okay.
I open up a can of Vandy Camp beans, and I just sit down and eat dinner with
the Again,
beans.
Back to the Depression era.
We are literally on the train.
Open up a can of beans.
You sound like a hobo.
All you need is the stick with the little burlap on it.
I could live like that. I could be a hobo in my,
a vagrant.
My knapsack. I have like 10 little cans of beans and just pop open that can and eat the pork and beans.
Jesus, go to break quick. That's from the 636.
Yeah, we still got a little
Humans bit don't drink from rivers. Wow. That's from Jonathan Titsworthy.
I don't. I drink...
You live in an industrialized nation.
Indeed.
There are people, I'm sure, around the world that would drink from a river.
Everybody needs to have a life straw.
You have a desalinization.
Well, they wouldn't have that in parts of the Amazon and parts of Africa. Completely undeveloped.
I don't think they drink out of the river.
Oh, they 100% do.
I bet they probably do. Probably
like I said, everybody in the world needs a life straw. You can stick it in the dirtiest water. And then,
yeah, those things are cool.
Oh, they're awesome.
And what does it do?
It purifies.
It filters it out.
It filters in real time.
Like, you know, it's a normal straw. I'm probably big, you know.
Really?
And it just, you put it in the river and you suck it out and all you get is clean fresh water.
Really? It's a filtering
mechanism. Insane awesome.
Yeah. That's
they
a huge.
They have that Costco.
Haven't heard of that.
Clean water is a very big initiative and people take it really seriously because if you don't have clean water, it's very dangerous.
They probably sell a lot of those at the Bass Pro where everyone's camping.
Well, we went to Sarah. They're all over Sam's and Costco, that kind of where we saw them. But you can find them anywhere. But I highly recommend if you're doing any sort of outdoor camping or anything, just carry one on you.
So then you can't drink directly out of the river.
Yes, you can literally any water source you find.
Ocean?
Clean, pure. See, I don't know about, I don't think you could filter out that much salt.
No, because even if you're stranded somewhere, I mean, you can live without food for, I think, 3 weeks. You can only go 3 days without water.
Yeah, the water, to keep it, I don't think oceans.
So if you can find a lake or something, a lot of these guys would have these, like, drops you could put in there. Or you boil it, and it boils all the impurities or any kind of microisms that would be in there. But ocean, you can't get rid of the salt.
And too much salt to filter out. I forgot what the process is. So, yeah, if you're in the ocean, you're screwed anyways.
No.
There's nothing worse than going out to eat with someone who is vegan and listening to them bitch about how the restaurant doesn't have really great vegan-friendly variety.
Oh.
No one told you to take a blood oath swearing off 90% of things that taste good. That's from Carlos Spicy.
Yeah, eat a steak and quit bitching.
But almost every restaurant will give you a good salad, right?
There's 100%. Also, like...
But I guess if there's cheese in it, that's out.
The vegans we hang out with are not like that. And if that was the case...
Are they vegan or vegetarian?
One's vegan, one's vegetarian, because one kind of transformed into that as the relationship went. So that's the one that did the gourd bowls soup.
Bowls of gourd.
God.
I don't know
Cup runneth over.
I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly, if it's a queso fundido or if it's an actual, soup. Nonetheless,
what's the appetizer?
It.
Gourd soup?
I hate to break it to you all, but each of you will end up eating tree bark and cucumber sandwiches in a roadside ditch. Radio careers all lead to the same ending. Yeah. Also, Stro, what is a microism? That's from the Dogtown Astro fan.
Yeah, you know what I meant.
I thought it was close enough.
Whatever those little microbioticisms are in there.
Microbioticisms?
Okay, KG, can you make that title of the segment?
I already did.
Yeah,
that one might be one of the best ones.
Desalination is to clean ocean water or remove the salt, you idiot. That's from Classy, Perry Ellis.
I think we know that.
Well, I know you can, but I'm talking with the life straws you cannot.
I'm talking about if you're stranded. I'm not talking about plants that do it, power plants that do it. I'm talking about if you're stranded in a boat, you can't drink it. You can't do anything with it. You can't boil it.
Listen to this. Water everywhere, but not one drop to drink. The Ancient Mariner.
Think about that.
So that would suck when you're stranded and so thirsty.
I'm talking about
surrounded by water that you can't
drink. Dual Survivor,
drink.
Which is one of my favorite shows.
Is that different than Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, Dual Survivor is two guys.
Is that the one guy with the bare feet?
Yeah,
that refuses
idiot.
To wear any kind of
yeah.
shoes?
Okay. They get dumped in Iceland and he's got bare feet on. I'm used to it, you idiot.
Walk around in like complete
Reykjavik.
Snow and ice.
But they would throw them, they would drop them somewhere and put them in a scenario like campers in the Himalayas were stranded. So they have to retrace their steps and they have a backpack and all they left was a machete and something.
And they also happen to have a camera crew following them.
Well, that's true. Nothing's going to happen to them. Hey, if we can't find any water, we're going to die. Okay, stop. Give me a bottle.
Cut.
Okay,
yeah.
let's go on. But they kind of go through how they have to purify water and find water and things like that. So,
guys, the water coming out of your tap is pure, treated Flo-Trip boy brine from the Missouri River. It's from Junior, the Juice Man.
Well, St. Louis.
We're talking about if you're out in a boat and you're thirsty, you don't just start slipping up river
don't
water.
Don't make that noise ever again.
I know our water comes from the river. I'm just talking about if you're out somewhere stranded, I'm thirsty, I'm going to drink this lake water. What if a beaver died, down the road, down the stream, and all that? His diseases are going through the water.
Beaver disease.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, so
there's a huge plant right by the Mississippi River where it goes in stages. First, they filter out, the dead bodies and the beavers, and the refrigerators, and then there's a smaller filter system, and it goes all the way down in several different steps until they get down to there's nothing in the water, and then they treat that.
St. Louis has the best
potable.
Tap water in the game.
It is
though.
Good.
It's
yeah.
unbelievable.
I feel
we don't even use our Brita filter anymore. It's that good.
I feel like people across the country say that their city has the best tap water.
It's probably whatever you get used to.
You know, it has the purest water in the world.
No.
Hito.
Jamaica.
Yeah.
Of course.
No, it does.
Of course,
it's,
sure.
100% serious.
Ooh.
They have the purest water in the world.
Says
Jamaica.
Who?
I'll look it up.
That uncut,
I'll look it up.
Pure water.
I don't know, because you have some countries you can't drink the water. I mean,
Mexico?
I went to Mexico, went to the Dominican Republic. They don't even tell you, when you brush your teeth, use the bottled water. Don't rinse your toothbrush under the tap water.
All right, I got the list of the cleanest tap water. Is that what we're talking about, the cleanest tap water?
Well, I don't know if it'd be tap water, just water.
Well, are you talking about the
That's what we're using is tap water.
Right. Because when we were in Jamaica, I felt, maybe I'm wrong, that we only drank bottled water. That was the only water I ever drank.
You could have drank the tap water because it's good water.
Okay, well, here we go. I got the list right here.
Okay, let's hear it.
It goes first, Switzerland.
Yeah.
Alpine nation there, the Alps. It's where people get a lot of really good spring water. Canada second. The United Kingdom third. New Zealand fourth. Singapore fifth. Germany sixth, Scandinavian, Finland, seventh. I'm seeing a trend here.
All highly industrialized countries.
Right, with big mountains.
Well, and great treatment facilities, too.
Right. I didn't see Jamaica. I see Czech Republic and...
Well, those aren't islands.
But they're countries.
Maybe Ireland, the purest water of any island country. And I read it somewhere.
Iceland. I'm seeing a list with Iceland number one. That would also make sense.
See, they all changed. See, now when I lived in Bermuda, you know how they got their water? Rainwater. All of the. If you go to Bermuda, almost every home is built with a limestone roof, and it's in a zigzag. catches rainwater, goes down into a filter under your house, and then purified, and that's what you're drinking.
Huh.
So they all drink rainwater.
Not even in the top 10. Lies again, Boots. That's from the 830 Recreator.
Well, he read off another one that had Iceland one. So it's
that's
just
true.
So they're all just changing. Maybe it was island countries.
Island boys?
No, island country. Purest water of island countries.
I was in Puerto Rico a month ago, and the water out of my hotel sink was dark brown. Oh. The hotel desk agent said, oh, that's how it is sometimes.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, I guess you're brushing your teeth with bottle
water. Isn't it like the first thing you would fix as a nation?
Is
not
water.
Able to drink the water? Yeah, wouldn't that be real high on the priorities of anything that you do?
Yeah, it's probably tough, I would imagine.
Remember the filtration. What happened when the water went bad in Flint, Michigan?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a national panic.
Yeah. Sometimes there's boil?
Boil order.
Boil order. Yeah, that's always tough.
Yeah, I had one in my complex, and I didn't see the email.
Oh, we've had 4 or 5 this year.
Really?
Oh, at least.
Am I just not paying attention?
My landlord is awesome, though. He will text me and Madison and I every time that happens. So I think he gets the alerts. I don't know if they alert individual tenants. They'll put it on, like, Camo V will probably put a little headline or something on their website. But
that's the best thing that ever happened to the bottled water industry is boil orders. Because everybody has bottled water now at home somewhere, don't they?
Or in Mexico, to where you have to have bottled water.
Yeah.
I saw a family of 5 at Costco the other day. They had 8 bottles of, like, package of bottles of water.
Yeah, scared to drink the tap water.
8.
Why don't we come up with a TMA bottled water?
And that's like 80. I mean, that's insane.
We could market it.
There's a picture of you with your thumbs up on the front.
Just tap water. That's what most of it is anyway. Just simply tap water in a bottle.
And you sell
a nice package.
If you sell any bottle under $2, you look like you're having a deal. Because, like, Aquafina's like $2.50 or whatever.
At Busch Stadium, it's like $6.50 for a bottle of
that's
water.
A good deal, though.
Fantastic deal.
For 20 ounces of water?
Yeah. If they had a drinking fountain, it would be zero cost.
Would you call it Mississippi's finest?
It probably is, yeah.
Also, Iceland is an island. My God, look at the map. It's from Susie Cream Cheese.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get crestfallen over this.
All right, maybe Caribbean Island. How about that? Let's just go there.
Is that an island?
The Caribbeans, yeah. The area of the Caribbean has full of islands. Is there any way Tim can call in for the next hour? That's from Aces High. No, Tim is on en route.
Why don't
low.
You just go listen to another show?
No, we want him to listen to this show.
I don't want him to listen if he's upset. Go elsewhere.
I think we're having a good show.
I do too, Plowhawk. It's Friday. We got Memorial Day weekend coming up. People are going to be getting after it. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. I think it's all positivity from here on out. I don't want any more negative texts.
Okay. Well, it's certainly mortgage refinance season now.
Couldn't agree more,
as
Doug.
As we roll into late May, the average credit card interest rate now over 24%. That's a horrible deal. You don't want it. This is the highest it's been in over 30 years. With inflation, people carrying more debt than ever. You don't want that either. Put the equity to work that you have in your home with a simple cash-out refinance. The average home loan expert receives more than $54,000 cash out on the refinance. So you take that money and you pay off that credit card debt and you're no longer paying over 24% interest. Now you can roll that into your mortgage. And it's a major thing to do to help your financial situation. Ryan Kelly has done that for me twice. He can do it for you. He's got a fabulous team. They'll put all the options together to get you taken care of if that's what you need is to refinance. A lot of people are doing it. Again, the website is thehomeloanexpert.com. Thank you so much, Ryan Kelly. Thank you, Sir Mortgage.
All right. It is 8:14 here in St. Louis. We're going to close out the Munganast 7 o'clock hour. We'll be coming back with the appliance discounters 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Redbirds, Doug, a little Thursday getaway day victory yesterday.
Okay. We'll talk a little Michael Block, too.
We'll talk a little Michael Block. We got some audio of him. And you know what? I'm running point today, so we'll talk a little Celtics and Heat. If you don't like it, you don't have to.
Okay.
This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After Live from the Michelob Ultra Studios.